Policies Plan, also known as the GPP or the COMP Plan, covers a broad range of topics such as land use, housing, environmental protection, and transportation, among other issues. The GPP is the guiding document for the city in setting policies and ordinances. Sarah Vaughn spoke with Planning and Transportation Director Christy Langley about the portion of the Growth Policies Plan that deals with transportation.
This is Sarah Vaughn reporting for WFHB. I'm speaking with Christy Langley, Director of Planning and Transportation for the City of Bloomington. Christy, can you explain to us the Comprehensive Plan, which is also known as a Growth Policies Plan? Can you explain for our listeners the purpose of that document?
Indiana State Statute provides the ability for local municipalities or counties to have planning and zoning authority. But in order to exercise that planning and zoning authority, they have to have a comprehensive master plan. And so it outlines in the state statute exactly what has to be in there, whether it's capital improvement plan, a thoroughfare master plan, that kind of stuff. And so it does not say in the state statute how often they need to be updated, but typically from an industry perspective, it's every 5 to 10 years, depending on how fast your community is growing. So the previous document, which was called the GPP, the Growth Policies Plan, was updated in 2002, so we're a little behind. One of the main goals of this plan is quality of life, and so we sat around and said, what does quality of life mean, right? People kind of throw it around. And we decided that quality of life means an increase in your number of choices. And then you can apply that to whatever, whether it's education, whether it's employment, whether it's transportation. And so a high quality of life, no matter what your income is, means a high level of choice. And transportation is one of those sections.
The Growth Policies Plan covers a very broad range of topics such as land use, housing, historic preservation, environmental protection, sustainability, and transportation, which is what I'd like to talk with you about today. I read on the city's website that thanks to the Bikeways Implementation Plan, the city's bike path network now covers more than 69 miles. Are there plans to expand bike paths even more?
Bloomington already has a rich history of being very multimodal. What the transportation section says in the current draft of the COMP plan is not just to encourage more diversity in the modes of transportation through development and then redoing existing transportation routes and enhancing those, but also is to update our thoroughfare master plan. So our thoroughfare plan basically dictates what capital improvements we're going to do for the next 5 to 10 years. What's interesting in the state of Indiana, at least, is that thoroughfare plans are typically very vehicularly oriented. What we would like to do is, when we update the thoroughfare plan in 2017, is to marry the thoroughfare plan update with the greenways plan so that they are on the same level. We don't want those documents separated. We want them together and married and talking to each other. And so that will also help enhance the industry standards and local development standards of some of our roadways and developments. So that's kind of the plan moving forward in the next 12 to 18 months.
And what informs your decision about how much and where to expand bicycle routes? Are there any studies being done? Is the purpose for recreation or to help people get to work?
One of the primary purposes is to add choices to transportation. So not just transit, but if I want to ride my bike to work or to the grocery store or what have you, we want you to be able to do that safely. And so that's the primary component, even though recreation is a component too, because it's actually a positive externality of making those bikeways safe for true transportation development. What dictates that decision is a myriad of things, public feedback and plans like this and the Greenways plan, and then just everyday conversation with our citizens. So we do keep an inventory when people call and say, hey, I ride my bike from point A to point B, and it's just not safe. And so what can you guys do to help improve that? So the more comments we get such as that, even outside of the planning process, we make note, and those go into our planning conversations with administration.
Can we expect more sidewalk expansion, and in what parts of the city might we see that?
Some people prefer multi-purpose paths and trails to sidewalks because sidewalks are typically, you know, even 3 foot in width and they don't accommodate much but the individual pedestrian. And then also they're very difficult to retrofit into areas that do not have any currently. And you have to do property acquisition. You have to deal with a lot of utilities that are in the areas that you're actually putting the sidewalks in. There's a sidewalk committee, and they have funding out of one of our budget lines every year to do those sidewalk projects. And so usually that is initiated by residents calling and saying, hey, this is what we want. The sidewalk committee meets and decides whether that has enough priority to be one of our funding areas for that year. But sidewalks in general are probably a little bit more of an archaic transportation system. And so we say, look, pedestrians are important, but we want to plan for more than just pedestrians so that they can walk in the same areas that people are biking or running or what have you. One of the things we're working with administration right now is how we prioritize those paths and those requests. And so those are some of the things that we need to look at about not there not being additional alternative transportation options there, how much traffic, pedestrian traffic is there typically, how many requests have we had in the past, et cetera. So we do need to do a better job of prioritizing those, and we're getting with administration the next couple months to analyze that, because most of our project funds are through the TIF, the Tax Increment Financing District, and because the mayor wants to be very particular on what we spend the TIF dollars on, he wants to be very particular on how we choose those projects.
And what about bus service? I've noticed there are gaps in the coverage. Are there plans to expand the bus service?
Lou May, who heads up Bloomington Transit, is technically not part of the city of Bloomington proper, but he does communicate and come to our meetings and all that. So one of those meetings is for me and him and probably our director of engineering, Andrew Seabor, to get together and talk about some of those gaps so that we can at least put policy language in the plan that supports them. We don't have a lot of local control because they're primarily controlled by the board, even though we do fund them. But they've always been very collaborative in their conversations, so we want to continue that collaboration through the narrative and the document.
How does the GPP intersect with the Bloomington-Monroe County Metropolitan Planning Organization's 2030 long-range transportation plan?
Probably the thoroughfare master plan will integrate more with the county's transportation master plan. But what we are looking at is how it coordinates with the county's urban area plan. So that's something that they're working on updating right now. So if you're familiar with the urban area plan, this is where the county is looking at some of the areas on our municipal border fringe, which are very urban in context, and how those land use should progress, especially with I-69 becoming a reality. And then we have to talk about our fringe as well and how it meshes with those land uses and how we intend to grow or not grow in the transportation intersection.
Do you feel that transportation will be an important issue in those discussions as the city and the county both grow?
Yep, I think it's paramount. It was paramount beforehand, but now with I-69 and its presence, I think it's going to be even more important. A majority of that exchange is in the county currently. And so we also have to talk about, and have in the past, but also those multimodal intersections, so not just vehicular, but how can we connect our bike paths and our walking trails and et cetera.
When's the next opportunity for the public to give input on the new GPP?
Where they're going to get the biggest bang for their buck from a time perspective is the town halls that we're having. Our first one is Wednesday, August 3rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Monroe County Public Library. So that's where we're going to have an extensive overview. We're going to have staff there with our board so you can talk individually and dialogue about what we missed, what we underemphasized, what we overemphasized, that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Christy, for your time. This is Sarah Vaughn for WFHB. I've been speaking with Christy Langley, the Director of Planning and Transportation for the City of Bloomington.